Text for our meditation this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Do you like your body? I'm sorry to sound a little personal this morning, maybe a little intrusive, but think about that question for just a moment. Do you like your body? Now, if you were to wonder how many people in this room, how they would answer that, how many people do you think would answer yes? 50%? 5%? Maybe 2%? We're pretty good, aren't we, at finding imperfections with our bodies. We can look in the mirror every day and see something else that we just don't like for some reason or another. We long to have better bodies, to look better. We want to look like the people in People magazine and not like just the common people at Walmart. We're constantly looking for solutions to our body and appearance related differences and dilemmas. And what answers do we find? Well, if we were to ask anybody out there what to do if we don't like our body, there are many answers that are there. And boiled down, really, the answer comes down to, well, change it. And think of all of the possibilities that are there. We're inundated with advertisements and with infomercials about all kinds of ways to improve the way we look. Hair replacement therapy. We have all kinds of information about weight loss plans, whether it's diets themselves or various exercise equipment, fat-busting supplements that are out there. We've got advertisements for miracle skin creams that are supposed to improve our skin and make it look just like it did when we were little children. There are advertisements for plastic surgery for practically every part imaginable of your body. Advertisements for designer clothes that help hide or reshape things that we want hidden or reshaped. The list goes on and on. But what will all of those efforts and any sorts of efforts like that actually get us? Will the changes that we make to our bodies be permanent? Eventually, our hair is probably going to fall out. Or maybe it's going to start to grow in places we don't want it to. Our weight is going to shift to places that we don't think looks good, or maybe it will go up when we want it to go down. Our skin is going to get wrinkly. It's going to lose its elasticity. Our features, even after surgical modifications, are probably going to revert to something that we don't like. Our clothes are going to wear out, or they're going to go out of fashion, and that means we have to buy more clothes. All of these fixes of changing our appearance, all of these fixes of changing our bodies are temporary. Ultimately, we could say that they're desperate attempts to stave off what we know is the inevitable, namely death. As Paul says in the text, our bodies are perishable. They're in a constant state of going from being alive to dead. Just prior to these verses, Paul writes that we are men of dust. And that harkens back to part of God's curse in the garden after Adam had sinned. He told him, dust you are, and to dust you will return. No matter what we do to our mortal bodies, they are just that. They are mortal. They will die. They will decay. They will rot. Now, we may not like that inescapable fact, but our mortal bodies are simply showing the compounding effects of sin. And I'm not just talking about the compounding effects of the sin of Adam in the garden and how that has trickled down to us through the millennia, I'm also talking about our own sin. Think about it. If what Paul says is true in Romans, that the wages of sin is death, then every sin that we commit adds to that death that we already have in our mortal bodies. Everything that we do to keep ourselves at the center of our own little universe, every self-directed action that we take in the name of vanity, every time that we ignore someone else's needs and try to make sure that our needs are met, all of that self-directed sin only adds to the death that we have. So really, if we simply try to answer that question, what do you do if you don't like your body? If we answer it with change it, it's really not going to get us anywhere. We're still going to end up like everyone else. We're still going to end up dead. But if we let God answer that question, the outcome is completely different. If God answers that question, he says, they will be changed. Our bodies, that is. In this entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul has been addressing questions about the resurrection. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is there truly a resurrection of our bodies? With what type of body am I going to be raised? And then finally, this question that Paul is addressing specifically in this text, what about those of us who are alive when Jesus comes back? What happens to our mortal bodies? And the answer, Paul says, is they will be changed. Paul makes it clear that our bodies are going to be changed from perishable to imperishable, from mortal to immortal bodies. Can you imagine having a body that's never subject to any kind of aging or decay or pain? A body that's going to last forever? We have no way, humanly speaking, of comprehending that. And so our minds try to make some sense of that by asking even more questions. Well, what exactly will my body look like when God gives me that perfect body? And unfortunately, then our vanity kind of kicks in again a little bit, doesn't it? And we start thinking, well, God, let me tell you what my perfect body would be if I could lose just a little more weight, if I could get that defective arm fixed, straighten up my teeth a little, and well, while we're at it, let's bulk up just a little bit. Well, that would be the perfect body. But again, that's our perception of perfection, our idea of what an immortal body should look like. God doesn't tell us exactly what our imperishable bodies are going to look like. Why not? It doesn't matter. Really, it just doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that we are able to receive an imperishable body in the first place. Just after this text, Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory that Jesus won for us is what's important. The victory that Jesus won over death is what's important. It's what we celebrate every time that we think about and we give thanks for Jesus' triumph over death. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Paul also writes. Because of Jesus' death and because of his resurrection from death, death no longer has the victory over us. Death no longer stings us because Jesus defeated death once and for all. And that victory that he gained through faith, he gives to us. We have that victory. We have Jesus' victory over death, and that means we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have eternal life with him in heaven. You see, that's the important part of Jesus' victory and what it means for us, eternal life. What happens to our bodies, that they are changed from sin and guilt-ridden corpses of dust into perfect, glorified bodies, that's really a blessing from God. We may not understand the how. It's going to remain a mystery to us, as Paul says. But our resurrection from the dead in our glorified and perfect body does give our physical existence here and now true meaning. You're not just haphazardly traipsing along through life as though it means nothing. You are God's child. You are one for whom Jesus lived and died and lives again. You are one who has been given Christ's victory over death, which means eternal life with him forever. You are one who will receive an immortal body to boot. Praise God, we shall be changed. Amen. Please rise. We have two prayer requests before us this morning. Today we'll pray on behalf of Luke Milner, who suffered a severe head injury last night, requiring brain surgery to remove a dangerous blood clot, and he's currently in the intensive care unit. We also will pray on behalf of the family of Norman Holte, who passed away in his sleep this morning. Professor Holte served Bethany for 41 years and at one time was the president of Bethany College. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace on behalf of your child Luke. We are grateful for the gifted work of the surgeons who have carefully preserved his life. According to your will, grant him a full and quick recovery from this injury. Above all, comfort him with your grace and the promise of your fatherly care. We also thank you for all the years of faithful service which you provided this institution through your servant, Norman Holte. Be with his wife, Violet, and the Holte family as they grieve his passing. Comfort them with the same precious message of salvation which brought Norman such hope. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom as we await the return of our Savior through faithful use of his word and sacraments. In your time, take us from this veil of tears to the mansions of your glory. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.